Hey, what's up, everybody? Welcome to Screen Geeks Radio episode, I think we're 87?
I think so, yeah.
Wow, did I guess right?
87 or 88? 88.
We're 88.
Is it 88? Okay, cool.
Yes. The 7 episode was episode, yeah, okay.
That's right.
This is Dave.
This is Barry.
And joining us this week, writer for Quick Stop Entertainment, featured writer in Geek Monthly Magazine occasionally, Chris Stipp. How the heck are
hey.
You, sir?
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, good. Melissa will be joining us back next week, and Ethan is at the Toronto Film Festival, so he has far better things to do than to join us for our first episode back. For those asking, we will be doing a tribute to Josh next week. For those who haven't heard, I don't know how, but we did lose Josh Green. That's why we had the huge break that we had. And we'll get into that next week. This week we're going to do a summer movie wrap-up, though, because this has been a pretty darn good summer, I think.
Yes, it's been an excellent summer. And you're right, Dave. We need to get it back on our feet, I think. So
yeah.
This is a good way to go back after what's it been, like a month-long hiatus?
Just about, if not a little more.
And be absolutely sure, listeners, we absolutely needed the hiatus. So, but we're happy to be back. We're back with guns blazing.
Heck yes. So let's talk about what we've watched let's just say the last week, because the last month is going to take us an hour by itself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess I'll kick it off. I've been on a little bit of a classic horror kick. I've watched in the past week the original House of Wax with Vincent Price and The Haunting with my wife. She's not a horror fan, but she's watched both of them with me, and those are such good movies.
Robert Wise's The Haunting. Robert Wise's The Haunting is a great, great horror film.
It's what horror films can be. You know, they don't have to be gore, guts, boobs, and all that stuff. It can just be a good, solid, tension-filled film.
Yeah.
I'm so glad this movie did not have a surround sound mix, because that would have just freaked us even more out.
And listeners, if you've not seen this, but you've only seen the Liam Neeson, Catherine Zeta-Jones remake, please see the original. You will not regret it. It doesn't matter if it's the same story. The Haunting is a great, scary freak out of a horror film.
What I loved was the fact that there isn't a score through the whole movie. There's just these moments of silence. We've been trained, and I think it was even back in the 50s and 60s, and even now, if there's silence and there's nothing going on, it's just the camera on the person, 3 seconds later, something's popping out. And it doesn't happen in this, which makes it even more disturbing. Quick question about the remake. Catherine Zeta-Jones' character is a lesbian, right?
Yes.
And she runs around screaming, I'm a lesbian, for like the entire movie, right?
I think it's implied. I don't remember her doing that, but I think it's implied. I'm pretty sure.
Because it was pretty implied in this movie, too. You could see the undertones, but I heard it was a lot less subtle in the remake.
Yeah.
And this is just such a good movie. And House of Wax, it's a goofy movie. The 3D, you can tell it was made for 3D when you got a guy throwing 3 yo-yos at a time at the screen to screw with people.
Yeah, yeah, ping pong balls. Yeah, that's good stuff.
Yeah, oh, it's a ping pong ball. Yep. But it was good. It was good. And it had Morticia Adams.
And Charles Bronson. He was the big oaf of a guy. That was
really?
Charles. Isn't that something? That was Charles Bronson back when he went by Charles Bukowski. But yeah, this was the movie that really launched Vincent Price into the horror movie. And he's great. He's so great in that movie.
He's not the mustache twirling macabre villain of a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's just really good.
Yeah, it's just sinister and creepy. Again, listeners, the original House of Wax is awesome. If you've seen the Paris Hilton one, screw it. See the original. You will thank us.
Yes. And then 2 TV shows. I've gotten Steph hooked on Man vs. Food. That show is just so good. I like anytime I know we're planning a trip to Austin, I know of places we're going.
Nice.
Oh, yes. And I've been watching Leverage. That show never ceases to amaze me. If you watch when I watch the pilot, it's the entire show. The setup is essentially Ocean's 11 meets the A-Team. But you wonder how they can sustain this past a single episode. And I'm like 10 episodes in now, and it just keeps doing it week after week extremely well.
Nice.
So, yeah, that's about it. Chris, do you want to chime in with anything?
You know, if we're going for the past week, I actually have been saw a couple of notable movies, and actually not a lot in the theatrical sense. I don't know what has been going on as of late, but a lot of the movies that have been appearing theatrically haven't been screened for critics, and the ones that have, you know, they're doing it all obnoxious hours, like, you know, noon,
like the 9 screening.
Yeah.
9:09 you know? The night before, really, guys?
Yeah, no thanks. I'll be in bed. I'll watch it over the weekend.
Maybe.
And so it's been nutty. It's just been nutty with these screenings as of late. But thankfully, a couple of studios have actually sent me copies of Big Fan and cool. World's Greatest Dad, which I got to watch, which have more than made up for the lack of theatrical films, at least in the month of September here that, you know, haven't been going. And those have just been spectacular.
I've heard good things about both of those.
Yeah, what Marty great. Went on the record to say, World's Greatest Dad is his pick for best comedy of the year. He loved that movie.
It is wickedly just sharp, dark, and, you know, it doesn't pull you know, I hate to say pull doesn't pull any punches, but it's a great dissertation on the nature of you know, how far people will go to achieve their dreams.
Interesting.
You know, it's great. And one other film which, you know, hasn't been getting a lot of you know, big to do, but Renee Zegler's My One and Only.
Yeah.
I got sent that, and I you know, decided to give it a whirl. I had no idea what this film was, and I could not believe how much I actually just enjoyed it. And it was a great, great sort of period road, comma, comedy, slapsticky, you know, in the sense that it's just a great little movie. And hopefully when people get the chance to see it when it eventually does come out on DVD, or if it's playing, you know, very limited where they are, to give it a chance and to actually watch it.
Isn't it the George Hamilton story?
Yes.
That's crazy. Yeah. I had no, someone just told me that the other day. Like, I didn't know they made a movie about George Hamilton's life. That's nuts.
Yeah,
exactly. I mean, don't get me wrong. It makes me want to see it, but that's interesting.
It is. And I had, like I said, no idea that that's the case until I started doing a little bit of research on it. But Renee actually just shines in this movie. She's not all, looks like her eyes got, you know, stung with, you know, hordes of bees. You know, she's actually, you know... actually aware, and you know, moves through the movie with a lot of grace and poise, and I really, really enjoyed it.
Great.
Really enjoyed it.
Great.
And the only other film that came recommended by you guys that I decided to check out, and now I'll say this with a caveat that I haven't watched it all the way through yet. I'm only about a quarter of the way through, is The Burbs, which I never saw.
Ah.
And so far, I don't know what you guys are seeing. I've seen this before. Weird guy down the block. It's kind of, you know, it's real sort of, you know, looks like it was made on a back lot, and like, all right, strange neighbor. Well, they'll end up being like the guy from, you know, Home Alone. He's going to be a really good guy at the end. But so far, I'm not, you know, I don't know if this is a representative of the whole, but, you know, I'm going to get through it, hopefully, the rest of it today.
Well, you're right about one thing. It was shot in the back lot, the Universal back lot. I think you could, there's in one wide shot, we actually could see the Leave It to Beaver house.
Oh, I mean, you're kidding.
They made no bones about it. Yeah, it was completely shot in the Universal back lot.
Okay. Well, yeah. Well, I hope it turns around for you.
Yeah, well, I want to hear an update when you finish it.
I will. I promise. Yes.
Very cool. Barry, what about you, sir?
I watched The International with Clive Owen and Naomi Watts. Amazing action sequence. Very late in the movie at the Guggenheim Museum in New York. It's about a 10-minute sequence. It is an ultra-violent thrill ride of a scene. Rest of the movie, not so good. This is the movie I barely remember, honestly, but that one sequence is so incredible. I recommend it. I recommend just for seeing that one scene. This is Tom Tickford, who did Run, Lola, Run. That one sequence is one of the best action sequences of the year, but the rest of the movie, it's just kind of like a Bourne Identity movie without Matt Damon. It's just not that interesting. I saw Troll 2.
Really?
Which I needed to see because there's a documentary coming out called Best Worst Movie.
Yes.
Have you heard about it? Yeah. Troll 2 is on Hulu.com. I want to throw out there because otherwise it's hard to find. Troll 2 is one of the greats. It's one of the most hilariously awful movies. It's like, I want to give it no stars because the acting and the directing and the screenplay and the music and the sets and the lighting are so terrible. But in terms of pure entertainment, and I could not stop laughing the whole way through, it's a 4-star movie. So I'm just going to cop out and give it 2 stars. It's so much fun. So much fun. It really is a wonderful, terrible movie. I would compare it to like The Marine. Just like, you can't wait to show this movie to all your friends. It's so, so great.
Ethan's going to be so happy to hear you say that.
Oh, is he?
Yes, yes. That's like a Canadian treasure.
Oh, is it?
Oh, yeah. They talk about it on Film Junk once in a while. And, oh, yeah.
Nice, nice. Yeah, I totally dug Troll 2. I get it. I get it now because I've seen Troll 1, and I really had no desire to return. But now that I've been to, the name of the town, Noblin, not Goblin. It's Goblin spelled backwards. That's the name of the town it takes place in.
Wow.
It's brilliant. It's a brilliant movie.
All right. Anything else, sir?
No, that's it. That's it.
Okay, cool. Well, then let's go ahead and talk about what hit theaters this week and if any of them didn't suck.
Well, let's see. We've, not to be confused with Rob Marshall's 9 or District 9 or 8.5, Tim Burton Presents 9, which was released on 9/9/9 at 9:09 in some theaters, with the voices of Crispin Glover and Jennifer Connelly. Sorority Row, the old school slasher horror film starring Rumor Willis. Sorry.
Isn't this just pretty much like I Know What You Did Last Summer?
Or it looks kind of like Hell Night, that movie with Linda Blair from back in the day.
Wow.
It looks kind of like that.
Okay.
So I only hope it's that good. Tyler Perry's I Can Do Bad All By Myself, currently the number one movie in America with a $24 million opening. This is with Taraji P. Henson from The Curious Case of Benjamin Button.
Don't forget Madea.
That's right. Madea is back.
Oh, God.
And a film that I really wanted to see, even though everybody says it's like one of the worst movies of the year, Whiteout, starring Kate Beckinsale, which had one of the worst openings of the year, some of the worst reviews of the year. I've heard it's like The Thing without The Thing.
So did you see any of these, Chris?
No, and in fact, funny side note, on the Sorority Row, I'm usually a whore when it comes to interviews. Like, I'll do them. You know, anybody gets offered to me, I'll go, okay, no, all right, I'll do it. But with this one, I was like, you know, no, absolutely not. No, I'll pass. No matter what this might do to the future opportunities, I no interest at all. And like you said, it's I think I've seen this movie before in a lot of incarnations in the past year.
Yeah.
And so, no, not it wasn't necessary for me to even conduct an interview about the movie.
Yeah, you know, this is September. I mean, September is unfortunately living up to its reputation, just like January, for the most part, is another September. The studio's essentially dumping the movies that weren't good enough to be released in the summer, but weren't good enough to be released in the busy fall movie season. So we got the likes of this and Jennifer's Body and all these other movies that look really, really bad.
And I'd like to apologize ahead of time if you're hearing like crunching in the background or lapping up of water right now. Harley's in the room, so yeah, sorry about that.
Oh, she's thirsty.
Yeah. Fair enough. Let's go ahead and talk about what's hitting DVD this week. This is a good DVD week for the most part.
For the most part, we'll start off with so that Dave's in a good mood. Let's get Wolverine out of the way. X-Men Origins Wolverine starring Hugh Jackman.
There are three releases with Wolverine coming out this week. Two of them are cool. This is not one of them.
I didn't dislike this movie anywhere near as much as you did, but I'm sure we'll be talking about Wolverine again.
Oh, we will.
Especially with our summer movie wrap-up. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, season 4. Very good show. Grey's Anatomy, the complete fifth season. Speaking of Grey's Anatomy, season 2 of Private Practice.
Okay, does anyone care about either of those shows?
Now that we got that out of the way, X-Men, Marvel X-Men, Volume 3 and Volume 4. This is from the Marvel DVD collection.
Oh, yes. Yes, and I'll be bringing that up a little bit when we get to some news. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Crash, the complete first season. I saw the first three episodes of this show, and I was not impressed. I can't believe it's coming back for a second season. Grace, one of the most tasteless concepts for a horror movie I think I've ever come across, is being released on DVD. It seems like we were talking about this just a few weeks ago. This is the one about the baby who's stillborn, comes back and kills people. Yeah, this is now, surprise, surprise, it's now on DVD. It was in theaters like a week ago. The Big Bang Theory, complete second season. Doctor Who, the next Doctor. This is the Christmas special you were saying.
From this past Christmas, it has David Morrissey in it, too.
Cool.
Yeah, it should be kind of cool if you're a Doctor Who fan.
Wow. Sanctuary, season 1.
Good show. You know, okay, I have to chime in on this really quickly. This show lost me in a big way because there's an episode where they do a complete ripoff of The Usual Suspect and not in a good way. But I decided to give it another chance, and it's grown on me. It's a pretty good show. It's
cool.
It's a good low-budget sci-fi show.
If they could recover from that, that's always a good thing.
Yeah.
One of my favorites from my youth, I'm sure you guys can relate to this, King Kong versus Godzilla.
Heck yeah.
I love this movie. I remember as a kid, but like just sitting there watching, like it was like watching WrestleMania 3. It's like, come on, King Kong. Phantasm 2, finally getting a DVD release. This is the 1988 film. I think it's the best in the series, honestly. Love Phantasm 2. An American Werewolf in London, the special edition.
Yes, both DVD and Blu-ray.
Excellent. Friday the 13th, Part 7 and 8. Part 7 is The New Blood, starring Lar Park Lincoln, who was nice enough to be a guest in our show about a year ago. And Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan. That's up there that's in my top 5, like, guilty pleasures. I love Jason Takes Manhattan. Nothing like seeing Jason kill, like, New York muggers and trash a diner. It's terrible.
That's awesome.
But and Kelly Hugh stars in that film.
Nice.
It's good stuff. And then you also have Army of Darkness, the Screwhead edition.
Very cool. I've got a couple more in there to throw in there. Just for you old school 80s fans, if you have no taste, I guess you might like Fame, the complete seasons 1 and 2. Western fans might be kind of happy because Bonanza is finally getting a legitimate DVD release, like as opposed to the public domain really crappy releases. And we have the Legacy Series, Universal Legacy Series edition of The Wolfman.
Great.
So, yeah, that should be cool. If it's anything like the Dracula and Frankenstein releases, it should be pretty impressive.
Yeah, and The Creature from the Black Lagoon release. Yeah, yes. And finally, on Blu-ray this week, sorry, I forgot to mention this, The Legend of Drunken Master, Elijah... Good stuff. That might be fun in Blu-ray. Elijah Dushku in Wrong Turn, featuring the Stan Winston.
Oh, you just remind me what else I've been watching. Okay. Dollhouse. Not a fan. Okay.
Oh, really? Oh, that's too bad.
She can't act.
Well, yeah, you know, you're right. That is... Yeah, that's always been true. The James Vanderbeek cinematic masterpiece, the best thing, well, if you take out Rules of Attraction, but nobody saw that. Varsity Blues is on Blu-ray. Best Picture winner of 1984, Amadeus, the director's cut. The best in the Child's Play series, the first one, the original Child's Play. Deep Impact, not Armageddon, but Deep Impact.
So it's the good one.
I liked Armageddon a little bit better. A little bit better.
Not even. I couldn't go.
But I thought they were both lousy, to tell you the truth. I wasn't a fan of the Meteor movies.
Okay.
My favorite Rob Reiner film, Misery, with James Caan and Kathy Bates. Love that film. Hero with Jet Li. I always have to say that. It's not Hero with Dustin Hoffman. It's Hero with Jet Li. And finally, a movie that if you're a longtime listener on this show, you know that Dave defends this more than any human being. Steven Sommers' Van Helsing, available on Blu-ray.
To a point. Come on. We'll be. That's the funny thing. You're going to bring up Van Helsing again later in the news. So
that's
yeah.
it. That's right.
Yeah. Speaking of news, let's just go ahead and roll through it. Cause well, we're just like cruising through this stuff. It's all good. Do you have any news really, or am I the bearer
of
the news?
I'll just jump on your news.
Fair enough. First of all, for all you Disney geeks, apparently we're getting Star Tours 2. Have you done Star Tours, Chris?
No, I have not.
You totally should. The kid in you will have a blast with it.
Yeah.
Absolutely. But the second one came out apparently at the D23 conference. They put out a teaser trailer, and I showed Barry this, and I'm hoping it's more than this, but it's kind of a pod racing scene. Like the Star Tours shuttle gets roped into a pod race.
Somehow the shuttle ends up on Tatooine for a pod race, which doesn't make any sense.
Well, which to be fair, the first ride now has you going through the trenches of the Death Star, which what kid didn't dream of doing that?
Yeah.
Compared to the pod race, I don't know, but who knows? We'll see.
I actually went on Star Tours back when Paul Rubens was the voice of the commander.
They did change his voice, didn't they?
They did after the scandal broke out in 91. Yeah.
I was a bigger fan of the Paul Rubens stuff, yes.
Me too.
Absolutely. For some reason, well, no, not for some reason. Bruce Campbell's going to be in Spider-Man 4. He says it's shooting in January, and he says that he has a bigger part. No one knows anything about this movie, so who knows if it's true or if he's
kind of like the Gary Oldman Batman thing.
Well, he also likes to yank people's chains.
He's very good at that.
He is. Yeah, he'll be Mysterio. Who knows? Okay, maybe not. Whatever. And speaking of Van Helsing, we have the English version of the Solomon Kane trailer came out.
Yes.
What were you saying? There's like seven different movies you've seen.
It looked to me like Van Helsing meets The Crucible, meets Underworld, meets Pathfinder, meets Gladiator. It's like the lighting and everything. I know it's based on an original source. I do, but it seems like there's been all these movies that kind of suck the air out of this one.
We'll see. The comic is pretty well loved, so I'm willing to give it a shot. And it looks like it's more fun than Van Helsing, like Van Helsing, but good, kind of.
We'll see. Do we know who the director is?
I don't even remember.
It's James Purfoy as Solomon Kane.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else interesting in it? Because it means at least Jonah Hex has, you know, like people who don't know who Jonah Hex is, they're going to go see it because of Megan Fox.
Or Josh Brolin.
Hopefully for Josh Brolin.
Because, yeah.
For the actor in the cast, yeah.
Yeah. Hang on here just a sec.
Okay. No big deal.
Yeah, I can't find anything on who's directing it. It's okay. Doesn't really matter.
So hope for the best.
Yeah. And I'm trying to think. Oh, we cruise through all that so we can get to the actual news. The huge news of like the month, which is that Disney has purchased Marvel Entertainment. What do you think about this, Chris? Because we kind of cruised through all this. Do you want a chance to like talk about any of this? Because we kind of cruised through everything without even talking to you. I'm sorry, sir.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I would have chimed in. I would have been rude.
Good man.
The news itself, to me, I thought obviously would surprise a lot of people. But, you know, with their acquisition of Marvel, it comes a lot of people wondering, you know, oh, my God, they're taking over. But, you know, those of us who've seen enough acquisitions know that, you know, a lot of times they'll essentially let a property do what it's already been doing. You know, people are wondering, you know, the really bad jokes that came out about the, you know, Mickey Mouse versus the Hulk and, you know, what have you. But, you know, for me, it seems that it's just going to be sort of situation normal. I mean, it's not going to change Marvel Publishing that much, you know, if at all. The movies themselves, they're not you know, they're kind of going along their own track, and it doesn't seem that, you know, Disney really wants to get their fingers in a whole lot of things. But, you know, it, without ever seeing the deal or seeing how this deal is actually breaking down, you know, dollar by dollar and you know, behind the scenes stuff, that, you know, I don't want to pontificate without knowing exactly what happened. And so, you know, I'm not sure what this might bring in the future.
Fair enough. There was a really good discussion between Steve from Collider and Peter from Slash Film. I don't know if you saw that.
No, I didn't.
They did a video cast about it where Steve gets into a lot of the details behind, you know, Disney owns ABC. They own Marvel. They could do superhero-based, you know, properties for TV. Maybe like Smallville, but good. Other interesting things like that. I mean, the simple reality is, as much as I want to see Disney zombies, we're just not going to see it. It's not going to happen. Much as I might dream. What do you think about this, Barry?
I want to see Beauty and the Beast with Kelsey Grammer's Blue Beast superimposed. I would really enjoy that. Beyond that, I'm kind of cautiously skeptical. This just seems a very strange fusion. It reminds me of a few years ago when they did the New Line Cinema Warner Brothers. It's like, I wonder how much of the original creative team is going to be able to, you know, be open and free and creative, if they're going to be completely swallowed up by the Disney entity, or if this is a good thing. I don't know.
We will just have to see.
Yeah. It is just kind of these things. We're just going to have to see what they come up with, and hope it's not a disaster.
Yeah. I posted a thing about this when it first hit. One of the interesting things I said I was going to bring up the X-Men cartoon was the interesting problem was the reason it's taken so long to come out is because Marvel owns the characters, but Disney's owned the cartoon. The same issues happened with the 90s Spider-Man cartoon. I don't know if either of you guys watched that. It was a really good show, and everyone's been like, why isn't it coming out? Well, now I have a feeling we're going to see it coming out. I think had this move happened about 10 years ago, we'd all be freaking out, because that regime of Disney would have found a way to flush Marvel, in my opinion. Now with the Pixar guys, they've been so content to let people live and let live and succeed and everything, that I'm really curious to see how they're going to make this work.
So just out of curiosity, why do you think that the previous regime would have been disastrous for Marvel had this happened 10 years ago?
Cinderella 3?
Yeah, but 10 years ago they were, you know, Treasure Planet. They were still making some, not many, but some.
But for the most part, they put out a lot of crap. The park started going downhill in a bad way. I mean, California Adventure at Disneyland is still a joke to this day. They're trying to make it better, but that was one of the worst ideas ever. Let's go to a theme park based on California when you're in California. Yeah, no. With John Lasseter and Bob Iger and those guys in charge, I have a lot more faith in this move. So, I don't know, take it as you will. Lasseter's already said that, like, Pixar's chomping at the bit to try to do some kind of Marvel collaboration, and who knows what that's going to be. It's not going to be Ant-Man. That's come out and been said for sure. And yeah, so we will see, but I'm a lot more hopeful than I would have been a few years ago.
That's good.
That's for sure. So, wow, we're like a whole, like, 20 minutes in, and we're already to the news break. That's good. This is good. No more hour-long things. Maybe we can, you know, I don't know. We'll see.
Oh,
we'll
get I love back our hour-long shows. I love those shows.
The hour-long show. It's the hour-long before we get to the break. That's the problem.
Gotcha.
So, but with that in mind, let's go ahead and take a quick break, and then we shall be right back.
Sue Ellen Greenblatt is a real person, not an internet celebrity. So we've enlisted Billy Flynn and the Vicar to help her tell her story.
Geek Radio Daily gives me geeky news about movies, new DVD releases, even comics and gaming.
Geek Radio Daily makes me feel special.
Ah, yeah.
Womanly.
Yeah.
Okay, so the episodes are just 15 minutes, perfect for my commute or for just geeking out while I'm at the office.
All in one concise love package.
Ooh, the package, baby.
Uh-huh. And the best part is that it's a daily cast, so I'm always in the loop.
Sometimes I listen to it out of the bath, put on little outfits.
Ah!
It makes me want to invite all my friends over to show how refreshed I feel.
A slumber party, baby.
What? That's not what I said.
Get out the
chocolate mousse.
Duct tape.
Oh, get out of here, you freaks.
Geek Radio Daily. One 15-minute podcast provides 15% of the USDA recommended daily allowance of geeky goodness. Subscribe through iTunes or visit geekradiodaily.com.
And actually, you know, if you run a podcast and you have any ads that you'd like us to run, just send it to us and we'll probably run it, because, you know, we love GRD. Don't get me wrong. They're like our homies, brothers from other mothers, whatever. But we like giving other people love, too. So, yeah, them movie mantras wherever. Anyone else, go ahead and send us your
you don't
your,
have to have a jingle. We can do it for you.
So. Even if it's just, hey, this is so-and-so from this cast and you're listening to Screen Geeks Radio. Whatever. You know, it's all good.
As long as you have like a car horn or like some kind of wacky sound to accompany that.
Whatever. It's all good. Anyhow, what are we talking this week, sir?
The best of the best and worst and everything in between for the summer movie season of 2009.
This has been an interesting summer.
I thought it was a much better summer than last year, to tell you the truth.
You know, I look at my list of like top, my best of summer list, and pretty much every one of these movies has a good shot at being on my top 10 list at the end of the year. Have you found that to be kind of the same thing, Chris?
Yeah, I have. I did some real gems in there that will probably make the top 10 at the end of the year.
Cool. Well, shall we start off with the crap? Because that's always fun to do.
Sure.
Do you want to do the worst of, or do you want to do the disappointments?
Oh, let's just go to the very worst and work our way up from there.
Okay, what was the worst movie you saw this summer, Chris?
The Goods, without question. without question, without even thinking about it, without even putting any neuron activity against it. It is by far the worst movie I saw this year.
You almost didn't even let me finish the question. That's how bad like, the goods is.
Was it this year's The Rocker, Chris?
Yeah. No, that one's taken by Miss March. Which also starred, was it Craig Robinson? From
really?
The Office. Yeah, he's in both Miss March and in The Goods. Both the inglorious position of being the worst movies I've seen this year.
Man. Is it at least good in the crappy movies, or is it just
no?
Okay,
no.
I love Craig Robinson.
Yeah, I think his comedy's more subtle, and it's in these movies they were trying to make him sort of obnoxious and you know wild, and did not fly for me.
That's a shame. Yeah. Well, even John Krasinski started off his movie career with License to Wed, so hopefully there's still hope for Craig's career. I like him.
Well, he was good in Zack and Miri. He's one of the few highlights for me.
And he's got Hot Tub Time Machine coming out next year. The red band trailer to that is pretty hysterical, and it's mostly because of him.
Okay, and he was funny and Knocked Up.
He was.
In his cameo. So, yeah, wow. Any other stinkers, like outright bad ones you want to bring up at all, or...?
No, besides that, I think Wolverine gets a special place in I think everyone's heart this summer as the movie that, you know, shown that Gavin Hood should probably stick to, you know, other movies besides action, you know, a different genre, and with the threat that he might be doing part two does not bode well for me.
I thought I just read that he said he wasn't attached to it.
You know, I thought I said that too, but somehow I thought I saw something else to the counter that he was still being considered. But yeah, you know, I don't know. Either way, I was not a fan of this film. I was completely let down.
Was it like one of those things where he's like, "I won't do it. I will not be attached to it." And he has his hand slowly raising out. "I will not do it, Fox. I will not." And he's like waiting to see how much green they're gonna slap down in his palms.
Right.
If they give him $5, it's too much. I'm just saying.
There were worse movies, you guys. There were such worse movies
this summer
than Wolverine.
Yes. And you know, Wolverine gets special mention on my worst of list.
Wow.
But there is good stuff to be seen in Wolverine. The opening credits are good. Ryan Reynolds is good. Transformers has nothing good in it.
I completely agree.
Like, to me. Like it's there's just so much wrong with it. That when you think about it, you think about Wolverine and there's stuff that you kind of like. That was kind of cool. I'm trying to think of the cool stuff in Transformers.
There's no scene in Transformers I would watch again just because, oh, look at this. Because even the first one, you know, like Marty, for example, he always talks about the highway scene in Transformers 1. This one didn't have that. The action scenes were incoherent. The screenplay was beyond inept and offensive. None of the performances were good. Everybody was completely over the top and out of control. Logic does not exist in this movie, not even in a cartoon way. Even G.I. Joe Rise of the Cobra was so much more grounded in reality than anything in Transformers 2. The Transformers Heaven, this scene where they rip off Species, the opening scene where the movie hasn't even started. Witwicky has not even gotten to college yet. Within 10 minutes of the movie, and the kitchen explodes, the toaster turns into a gremlin, Megan Fox shows up on the lawn and starts stripping inexplicably, dogs are humping, stuff is exploding, mom and dad are overacting, and the movie hasn't even started! I hate this movie. I hate Transformers Revenge of the Fallen. I do.
I will still defend the first one as a fun movie. But that's because you could see what was going on in most of the movie.
Yeah.
I think that the scene where they're fighting out in the forest could have been really good had the CG been clear and you could see what was going on. I mean, that's what's so astounding is this movie cost $200 million to make and you couldn't tell what was going on the screen? Really? Wow.
It's inexplicable. Yeah, parts of it are But then, you know, this is a movie where a robot who is apparently an old robot, and we know that because he has a beard and a cane, is able to time travel.
Teleport.
Teleport, excuse me, teleport. Sorry. But
get your nonsensical terms straight.
Sorry. but, again, it's like one of these details, like they could have explained it in one lazily written line of dialogue, but they didn't. Then it's like, well, you know, look who's going to see this movie. It's like Michael Bay has such contempt for his audience.
Yeah, yeah. Did you want to chime in any more about Transformers? Have you kind of said everything you need to, Chris?
Oh, yeah. I've said everything I need to about this. Yeah, I'm not a fan in the slightest of this film at all.
Fair enough. Okay, well, let's move on to disappointments for the year. And there was only one that really came to mind for me. And I hate to say it, but it was Drag Me to Hell. Mm. It depends on what you want out of a horror movie. I was hoping we'd get an actual horror movie out of this. Even an Evil 2, the Evil Dead 2 level of horror movie, and this ended up, I just couldn't connect with this movie. I couldn't care less if the character lived or died.
Yeah.
I just didn't care about this movie, and I think Raimi's got better movies in him.
Yes.
So that was really my one disappointment. Wasn't an awful movie, but you know, I was disappointed.
Yeah, I agree with you, David. That was a big one for me, too. It's I thought Raimi was just trying way too hard to do the kind of movie that seemingly came much easier for him about 10 years or so ago. Likewise, I didn't connect with it. It was just
too much CG.
It was too slick. It really was. It was too slick for that kind of movie. But even if he wants to, you know, go beyond the Evil Dead and do something that's more polished and whatnot, likewise, I didn't really care about Alison Lohman's character, even though she definitely deserves a merit badge for what he put her through in making this movie. I didn't like her performance, or rather her character, and I just didn't connect with anybody.
I like Justin Long. I liked him.
I like Justin Long too, but again, I didn't think there was enough there for him to elevate the movie.
Fair enough. Did you have any other disappointments at all, Barry? Or?
Well, you know, just ones that were really bad. I mean, you know, the bad ones this year were so bad. I mean, Drag Me to Hell, I thought was one of the better bad ones. I mean, I wasn't expecting greatness with Night at the Museum 2, but that was just a waste of time. Angels and Demons just shows once again that Robert Langdon is not Indiana Jones and Harrison Ford.
Indiana Jones isn't even Indiana Jones. Sorry.
Well, I think Harrison Ford would have helped at least, but Tom Hanks is just not the next Indiana Jones, and Ron Howard is not the right guy to be doing the Robert Langdon movies. And my pick for worst movie this summer, I mean, just to go back just track just a second, is still Orphan. I still think Orphan is the worst movie I've seen all year and this summer.
Gotcha.
And this decade. Yeah.
Fair enough. Chris, did you have any big disappointments this summer?
You know, I think Public Enemies was the top of my
face. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
I thought it was visually, I thought it was brilliantly just a well shot, and I think I was just disappointed with the way it just all kind of, you know, petered out. It should have been a movie that I want to come back to like I do Heat, you know, some snappy dialogue and, you know, some, you know, great riveting moments. But I think the blend of video and just performances, it just kind of fell flat for me. Just, you know, made it a disappointment that I wish I would have liked more, and unfortunately just didn't. I really did have high hopes for this one going in, and just felt kind of let down by it.
Okay.
And if I had any other disappointment, it would be Terminator 3, or Terminator 4, excuse me. Or is it 3 or 4?
4.
4, right. I, again, came in with like, wow, this is going to be a real sort of brooding, dark movie, and it ended up being just like one of these things where you just cut it open and there's nothing inside. It was just, nothing worked. Nothing worked for me. I thought the sort of zombie robot or the zombie killer, that was brilliant, but it was on the screen for all of maybe, you know, 5-10 minutes, and then we got a bunch of, you know, Anton Yelchin, you know, it just did not work. Didn't work for me.
Fair enough. Okay. Any other ones at all, or should we move on to the pleasant surprises to start getting a little bit more positive?
Absolutely, pleasant surprises.
Barry, why don't you start off with your pleasant surprises?
Julie and Julia, a movie I couldn't have liked more and couldn't have been more surprised that I liked it. I felt very juiced walking out of it. I felt very inspired by the movie. It's definitely a movie about that celebrates people who love what they do and strive to be excellent at what they love doing. I can't think of a bad thing about it. I couldn't have been more surprised, considering it's Nora Ephron, who I don't think has made a great movie since Sleepless in Seattle. So that was a big surprise. I can't say I thought Inglourious Basterds would be bad, but I didn't like the trailer. I didn't like the movie I thought it was going to be. I didn't want to see an ultra-violent Brad Pitt World War II, bastardization that was like a gore galore movie with Jews killing Nazis and vice versa. It looked tasteless and in bad taste, and the movie it looked like, which is not the movie it is, by the way, looked really bad. And I can't even tell you how much I really loved the Inglourious Basterds. And like everybody else was so surprised that it was not the movie they advertised, and so delighted that it was so much better and so much smarter than they certainly made it look like.
Cool. Any other ones? Or
I dug The Time Traveler's Wife, considering that thing has been on a shelf for 2 years. But I think it's a great science fiction fantasy. And it's one of the few so-called chick flicks I think most guys would not mind having to sit through. It's much better than The Notebook. And it actually does a lot of really playful and interesting things with time travel in ways I have not seen since the second Back to the Future.
Cool. Right on. I've got a lot of pleasant surprises. Oddly enough, Terminator Salvation is on my list. I think partially because I'd heard so much bad word, my expectations were pretty much through the ground. And I ended up liking it better than Terminator 3. I was kind of surprised. It's not going on best of the year or anything like that, but it wasn't bad. Battle for Terra, a movie that you would not know even came out unless you happen to stumble across it, because, Lionsgate showed no faith in this movie. I have no problem calling them out on this. It's a unique movie. It's a unique take on humanity and stuff. It was designed originally as a live-action sci-fi movie. I have an interview with the director, Manny Cerbus, coming up, I think, next week before
DVD release.
Before the DVD release. I'll have an audio and video that we did back at Starfest. And it's not bad. It's equally not bad. Not as good, but not bad was G-Force. Shocked the crap out of me that I didn't hate that movie. That's really all that really deserves talking about, I think. I have Harry Potter on my list, but that's because I saw it a second time and liked it a lot better the second time.
Cool.
That had more to do with the fact that there wasn't someone talking next to us for the entire movie.
That always helps.
So I was able to enjoy the movie. And we saw it in the IMAX 3D. Someone gave us tickets, so that helps too. Let's see. What else? The Hangover. Not my favorite of the comedy of the year or anything, but it was surprisingly good. Had a lot of fun with it. It's like, this is why you don't get smashed that bad.
Good cautionary tale.
Or something like that. Yeah, and you love this, right, Chris?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think that's the top of my ones that I was really looking forward to. And it wasn't one of those that surprised me, but the one that I was really looking forward to, and it paid off brilliantly.
Very cool. Right on. And I have two more on my list, I promise. We're just cruising through this, which is good, because I know Chris has to go. Judd Apatow's Funny People. I'm not a Judd Apatow fan. That's why I was so pleasantly surprised at how good it was. I like to put this in the same breath as, like, Will Ferrell doing Stranger Than Fiction, or when Jim Carrey did The Truman Show. It's a departure, but it's a very good departure from his usual stylings. And finally, it's a movie that was out for one whole week, but dang, I loved X Games in 3D. There was a scene where Travis Pastrana is doing, like, the donuts in the dirt arena, and the way the dirt comes out, like, I actually had to stop from getting the reflexive choking mechanism, because it was just so realistic and felt like it was going out. It showed you can do live action in 3D, and it looks amazing.
Great.
There were shots, I took our good friend Nate, who's in film school, and he's like, there are shots in that like almost brought a tear to my eye because of just how beautifully they were made. And you know what? People who are like do the action sports or whatever are tougher than any other athlete I know of outside of like rugby players, because these guys are stupid insane. But it's good stuff. Very worth checking out. Even if you see it in 2D, it's just still amazing. And I think that's it. Let's get to the best of the summer.
Okay.
Wow, we are just cruising. All right. Chris, why don't you lead us off? What were your favorite movies this summer?
Without a question, I think one of the ones that surprisingly was caught a lot of people kind of off guard was Star Trek. I think it was a tie between Star Trek and Hangover. I think not a lot of people were expecting a lot from either, and both of them exceeded expectations to the point where you can't say, well, some people could, but I couldn't see any reason why not that these shouldn't be the top two films for the summer, at least for me. I enjoyed them for far different reasons. Hangover made me laugh, and Star Trek made me believe that this series could be relevant again. I stopped watching when I was a kid. I think I stopped around 3 or 4, and I saw this kind of on a whim and was just annihilated by what I saw. I think J.J. Abrams deserves a lot of credit, and certainly this is an ensemble cast that really came together to make this a really good film, and really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, if Wolverine was the false start of the summer, then Star Trek was the true start for the summer, I think.
Yeah,
correct.
Definitely.
Correct. And a movie that I saw earlier on, in the spring, but saw it again in the summer, and certainly deserves its place as one of the best summer movies, was 500 Days of Summer.
Yes.
Which added an amazing, Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Zooey Deschanel just shined. Absolutely shined in this film. That was wonderfully done, and very intimate and very funny, and one of those date films that don't come along very often. But this summer we actually got two that people of both sexes could agree on: 500 Days, and oddly enough, I marginally enjoyed The Proposal as a film that that sort of took those romance movies a step further and actually did something genuinely good with them.
Very cool. Barry?
Favorite of the summer?
Yes.
Favorites.
Well, it doesn't have to be like one. Yeah, because I've got like six of them.
Okay. District 9 is certainly up there. I was surprised how much the movie made me root for the aliens, which I was not expecting at all, considering how disgusting and repellent they are. And I was so engaged by the story of it. In fact, the buddy team that the movie ends up establishing, I thought was so engaging. I'm like, man, I really love these two guys, the scientist and our hero, as it were. Loved Catherine Bigelow's The Hurt Locker. I thought that was an excellent film. One of the great action movies of the year, and certainly certainly the best movie I've ever seen to deal with the Iraq War. And really, I think really to make me understand it and really have thoughts and feelings about it that are very valuable, which is unlike a lot of the previous Iraq War films that have been out. My three favorites of the summer were certainly J.J. Abrams' Star Trek. There are a few movies that I've seen twice that make me cry as hard as Up. And my favorite movie of the summer.
Beth Cooper, was that it?
Boy, was that a disappointment. And I got to say, really quick, you mentioned The Proposal. The Proposal was better than The Ugly Truth. Boy, was that better than The Ugly Truth. No, oddly enough, the one that Chris already mentioned, my favorite movie of the summer was Public Enemies.
Okay.
Saw it twice. I liked it even better the second time. I dug it. I think it's got just scene for scene, some of the best scenes, some of the best written scenes of the year. I love Depp's performance. It was nice to see Christian Bale underact for a change. I thought the story was engrossing. I thought it had enough action, but also enough drama. Like all Michael Mann movies, I love that we're actually watching these characters live their life and not just going through the motions of the story. And I liked the digital photography, kind of giving a timeless feel to this story of these criminals who love their fame as much as they love committing these crimes. I love Public Enemies. I think it's Mann's best movie since Heat.
Wow. Okay, then. Let's see what's on my list. 500 Days of Summer, I absolutely loved. I'm right there with Chris.
You guys are saps. Oh, gosh.
You know, in the right circumstances, it caught me right. I've said it before. I understand why you didn't like it, but Ponyo.
I'm the only Grinch, so.
Yes. Ponyo, the new Miyazaki film. It's a dubbed movie, which I hate in Japanese anime, and it has both a Cyrus and a Jonas in it, yet I loved the movie. If that doesn't tell you how good it is, it's that I can't help you. It shows why 2D animation is still very relevant and can do things that 3D animation just simply can't. It absolutely lets you, if you will, you're willing to let it, it will run away with your imagination and just have a blast. There's no scary bad guys. It's just more of an adventure movie. It's just really, really good. District 9. the movie that I'm sure made Cameron go, they spent how much on this? Because I don't know if anything can beat the CG that we saw in that movie, no. Frankly, because I forgot I was watching CG.
Yeah.
That's just astounds me beyond words. And the story was really good. I like the fact that they set it up as apartheid. It's not an apartheid tale, but it gives you a frame of reference to be able to connect emotionally with the movie and then goes along being an action movie. I really liked that. Let me see. Star Trek, you know, seriously, like the true first movie of the summer was amazing. I mean, as a big Star Trek geek, I was like, how are they going to do this right? I just don't see it. And it's like, you know, it's like doubting Singer sometimes. You know, why did I even do it? Why do I bother? Because Abrams pulled out a great movie with great actors and it was just so good. Up, like you said, I can't think of a movie that's made me cry that hard in a long time. But it's still a good adventure movie. It's not so much for the kids, but it's still a lot of fun. And finally, Inglourious Basterds. I'm still trying to decide if this is my favorite Tarantino movie or not. Mm-hmm. I just had so much fun with it. I loved the soundtrack he used. That's the thing that Tarantino can always do, is make them like the most amazing soundtrack you'll ever hear. Like, we were driving out for some family trip, and I just popped on every single Tarantino soundtrack I had over and over and over, one after the other. And Steph was like, this is so good. Who did this? And I told her. Now, yeah. So that's my best of summer. Is there anything else you guys want to bring up at all? I know Chris needs to run because we're like 5 minutes past his time and he needs to run.
Yeah, no, I'm, you know, I think just the only thing is it was a great summer for film. And I think those who were constantly poo-pooing the idea that, you know, box office is slowly dwindling and dying and that there's nothing left to see and that, you know, the box office numbers and people are dying on the streets of Hollywood because no one has work is all off or not. I mean, these things come in waves. You know, films like this will be here to stay. And I think this summer was a great message that it sent people saying that, you know what, summer movie time is still a great time for films. And, you know, as we go forward, people may be having home theaters, but nothing can take away from the experience of seeing a lot of these on a very big screen.
Absolutely. When we were putting this list together, I was shocked that I had the whole three movies that were either on a worst ever disappointment list. That was it? Three movies? Really? I mean, think back to last year. There's a lot more crap, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
So cool. Well, Chris, I know you must run. You have football.
Yes.
Fun to get to. Thank you so much for joining us on our first episode back.
No,
thank you.
I appreciate it.
Are you getting Comic-Con stuff up and all that stuff over at Quick Stop?
Yeah, my first thing from Comic-Con went up over the weekend. It was the Teamer, I don't want to slash his name, the man who directed Wanted.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Timur, gifted
Russian guy, yes.
Metchikov, yes. Interview with him and... the gentleman who won an Oscar actually for a short that eventually brought 9 to the big screen. So
was that Shane Acker?
Shane Acker, correct.
Okay.
Yes, that was the first bits that came out. So those are up over at Quick Stop Entertainment, and slowly the stuff is coming out. And I'm very much looking forward to it. In a few weeks, I'm going to be posting the interview I did with Michael J. White and the director of Black Dynamite. So I'm really looking forward to seeing the film and seeing how that interview kind of plays into what this film eventually is. I'm very much looking forward to that.
Cool. Here's the important question. Is there another Zach Levi interview?
Yes. Yes.
Sweet.
We just did one. He was just announced today at D23. I think he's doing the voices for Rapunzel. One of the voices, I think. In fact, I just brought it up while you guys were talking. I just happened to check. Yeah, Walt Disney for Rapunzel. Him and I talked for a good hour or so on the nature, and this was actually one of those memorable interviews, not just because this would be like the fourth time I've interviewed the guy, but sitting in his hotel room, I really didn't have anything to really talk about other than the show. You know, we had season 3 of Chuck and how, you know, he kind of saved it from itself. And it's a very heartfelt interview about how he sees, you know, the future of the show and, you know, his place, you know, on the show. And I'm really looking forward to actually revisiting that and seeing exactly what he had to say about, you know, his, you know, his role and sort of the cosmic, you know, cosmic sense of entertainment. And so I'm genuinely looking forward to putting that up online, but I just don't know when that's going to fit in.
Fair enough. Cool. So Quick Stop Entertainment, anything else coming up?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I'll pre-plug it now. I am going to be on the Slash Filmcast tomorrow night.
So, very cool. Great.
Very, very excited about that. I got to meet the wonderful David Chen and at San Diego. Got to meet him. And I'm very much looking forward to being a part of that tomorrow night. So if you have nothing to do and are around tomorrow night, it's going to be at 6:30 my time. So I think it's going to be 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Very much looking forward to not making an ass of myself.
And you can be a lot more foul-mouthed on that show.
Yeah, I try not to. There's enough of that already. I mean, seriously. I mean, when the tape's off, I swear like a sailor. But, you know, in public, I mean, it's not really necessary, really.
Well, Dave and Devendra and Adam, all those guys are good people. So I will absolutely tune in for that goodness.
Yeah. I just got let know yesterday, or actually a couple days ago, that I'm going to be on. So this is going to definitely be... I'm very much looking forward to that.
Very cool. Right on. Well, take it easy, sir. Thanks for joining us, and we will catch you later.
You will catch on the flip side, Dave.
All right. So let's go ahead and talk about what is hitting theaters this week. Is this week looking any better than last week? I'm thinking no.
Not really, Dave. No. We have Jennifer's Body, which stars Megan Fox, boo, and Amanda Seyfried, yay. It was written by Diablo Cody, yay, but directed from the director of Eon Flux, boo. So this movie...
It's an average out to...
I think, exactly, if that.
At best, yes.
The 3D CGI comedy, Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, based on the beloved children's book. Among the people in the cast, I mean, you've got Bill Hader and Anna Faris in the lead voices, but in supporting roles, Bruce Campbell and Mr. T.
Does he sing the mother song?
I actually can't talk about it.
Okay.
But yeah, we'll talk about it next week. But Bruce Campbell and Mr. T are in this movie. Just got to throw that out there. One of the more generic titles of the year, Love Happens, with Aaron Eckhart and Jennifer Aniston.
Okay.
I'm not a fanistan, so I really...
You're not a fanistan?
I'm not a fanistan of the Aniston, no. And a movie with a title that generic, I just can't be excited for. I just can't.
Gotcha.
In limited release, Jane Campion's Bright Star with Abbie Cornish. That's supposed to be really good. Charlize Theron and Kim Basinger in The Burning Plain. And also in limited release, Steven Soderbergh's The Informant, starring Matt Damon.
Which Ethan saw at the Toronto Film Festival. Check ScreenGeeks.com. He has a review up. He loved it.
Great, great.
Yes. So, and then what's on DVD next week?
On DVD, the slightly better of the two Mall Cop movies, Observe and Report, starring Seth Rogen. Slightly better. This is a genre that needs to die. Ghost of Girlfriend's Past, the movie that Ben Affleck was smart enough to turn down years ago, but his wife decided to do. Matthew McConaughey and Jennifer Garner in The Ghost of Girlfriend's Past. Season 2 of Terminator, the Sarah Connor Chronicles. I think they wanted to do it just long enough so that it could intersect with the release of the Terminator Salvation movie, so at least they got that far.
They have nothing to do with the universes, though. That's the funny part of it all. So, yeah, I wonder
if they'll intersect if they ever do another Terminator movie like they're threatening to do.
I doubt it.
Mm.
No. The series is over. It's dead. It's been canceled.
The Mentalist, the complete first season. Have you seen this?
No.
I'm not a Simon
really
Baker fan.
Care. Yeah. Yeah. No, I'm good.
30 Rock, season 3. Good show. Now, here's a good show. Castle, season 1 with Nathan Fillion. That's a good show.
And our congratulations to Mr. Fillion for winning the Emmy last night.
Yes. Congratulations, Nathan Fillion. Yay!
Yeah.
Terrific. And then finally, one of my favorite occult horror anthology TV shows from the 80s, Friday the 13th, the series, the final season. And what else we got? Ooh, The Howling Trilogy, the collector's edition tin.
<'Cause>,
but it's not a trilogy. There's 6 of these movies. So it's only the first 3.
All that matters is that you have The Howling 2, Your Sister's a Werewolf.
Yes, and Howling 3, The Marsupials. The Australian kangaroo werewolves. Let's see, what else we got?
Okay.
Clive Barker's Book of Blood. This is from the director of Tales from the Dark Side, the movie, John Harrison. I've heard very negative things about this. I just love saying this title. Rob Zombie's The Haunted World of El Superbisto. I want to see it. I do. It looks like fun.
That is all you.
Yeah, it is all me. And then finally, a movie we've been pushing very hard on this site, and people need to see it, Battle for Terra.
It's worth a rental at bare minimum. I still am not thrilled with the lack of any kind of push this movie got at all whatsoever.
What did it open against? Was it Wolverine?
Yes, it did.
It's like Wolverine, and the next week it was Star Trek. It's like that movie got...
But it got like 2 commercials on the air. That was like it. People were like, what movie? And I'm like, it has these people in it. Really? Why haven't I heard about it? Yeah. That's a great question.
Even Delgo got a better push.
Oh,
and
dang.
Then it's true. It's true. Then Blu-ray finally. Blu-ray release. Edgar Wright's Shaun of the Dead and Hot Fuzz on Blu-ray. Star Trek Season 2 of the original series.
And these are the HD remasters with the new CG that are just amazing looking.
Fantastic. Oh. And then, what is it, 2 through 6 of the theatrical?
No, this is actually the Star Trek The Next Generation motion picture collection. So it's Generations, excellent. First Contact, Insurrection, and Nemesis.
Very nice. And Star Trek 6 as well, I understand, on Blu-ray.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh, I can see. Oh, because it has Worf's grandfather. Okay, it has Michael Dorn in it.
Which is my favorite of the Star Trek films.
Yes.
And also, what do we got? Godzilla, the original Godzilla, not the Matthew Broderick, Roland Emmerich monstrosity, no, the original Godzilla, with or without Raymond Burr, depending on which edition you watch.
Interesting. Cool.
So you get to clearly see the zipper on that suit. Because it's Blu-ray.
And that's all that matters.
That's right.
Let's see if there are any announcements. If you want to send us email, we have emails like backlogged big time. There is still plenty of time to send us an email about Josh if you'd like to. I'm going to be passing them all along to his family. We've got quite a few emails. We've got tweets. We've got board postings at different websites, all kinds of stuff. And it's all appreciated. We love you guys a ton for this. But if you want to shoot us an email, you can just send it to the podcast at screengeeks.com email address, and I'll get things forwarded on. Or you can also give us send us a voicemail at 719-553-5664. You can also email us for normal stuff, feedback on this episode. We're glad you're back. You suck. Go away. Whatever. You can also email us at Barry, Dave, and Melissa, all at screengeeks.com. Or Ethan. Well, how did I forget Ethan?
Ethan.
Man, he's at TIFF, and he's like posting all kinds of stuff. He got to see a serious man. I can't wait to read what he thought about that.
He's a stud, Ethan.
I'm jealous.
Man.
Also coming up this Wednesday, if you are in the Colorado Springs area, there is a screening of Ink down at the Lon Chaney Theater. I love that we have a theater named after Lon Chaney. I mean, the man was born here, for crying out loud.
We should have a street, a store, and like a theme park named after Lon Chaney. But hey, at least we have a theater.
Absolutely. Coming up, screening at the Lon Chaney Theater is Ink. I have been honored and privileged to be asked to introduce the film.
Yay.
And then there will be a Q&A afterward with director Jamin Winans and producer Kiowa Winans.
You're going to be like the James Lipton of the night.
Wow. Yeah, I wasn't nervous enough. Thanks. I really appreciate that. We will be, Nate's coming down. He's going to be filming the Q&A and the intro, so we'll be posting that online as well. It will be a good time, and next week is a very special episode that we never thought we'd have to do, but we have to honor our friend. So, until then, this is Dave.
This is Barry.
Take it easy.